The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today. It's a wonderful November day, and what we're going to do today is we are going to kind of be a fly on the wall of my treatment room while I was doing a root canal on a girl named Casey. She was nice enough to let us record this. And I know that root canals scare people. People think they're, I don't know, whatever it is, it just kind of stirs these thoughts of horror in people. So I thought it'd be kind of neat to listen to a live root canal being done. Here we go.
What happened?
Like all interested in this stuff over here he's doing.
Sorry, my friend.
I've been hospitalized, and I mean, when you're in the hospital, you have no idea what's going on.
You don't know what's going on yet.
And so, like, I'm really interested in this, because I mean,
all right, so we're going to go, I'm going to go check the CAD-CAM milling machine, and
if you weren't orally sedated and have the nitrous, I'd take you back to be milled.
Yeah.
You might be a little loopy to try to walk up there.
But I still think it's really interesting, because I mean, I've had a lot of scary experiences, and for him to sit here and actually take the time to show me what's actually going on, it really means a lot to me, because I'm terrified.
While we're waiting,
like
it's time to work on the root canal.
Like,
yep, let's get the root canal done. Okay.
He's, of course, very professional.
So,
and I like seeing what's going on. I always love knowing what's going on.
It's so nice because Dr. Kvitko explains to you pretty much step by step what he's doing, which is really nice. Even for me.
I only do that because I'm trying to remember myself.
I like that you do that. I
do too. It lets me know what's going on.
Yeah.
Casey was saying how much that means to her that you take the time.
Well,
that's cool.
This whole little program thing that you got going on is really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think that people tend to stay away from the dentist because of fear, and I think some of it is fear of the unknown. And if when they're here, you can make it, well, explain things like you guys were just talking about, then it's not the unknown anymore. If it's nighttime and you're walking down the street by yourself and there's a dark alley you're coming up to, you're kind of fearful, right? Because you don't know if somebody's hiding in there. If you're on a brightly lit street, you just keep walking because there's nothing unknown. You see everything. So at least that's one less fear maybe people will have, is the unknown part. There's still that concern. Is it going to hurt? Is it going to hurt? But we work real hard to control that. And that's what I'm doing now, is giving you more numbing. So that way we can move forward and not have to worry. So your crown is milling. It has 5 minutes and 44 seconds left.
I was just telling her, I've been hospitalized before, and being in the hospital, I mean, you completely don't know what's going on. They're running test after test, and you don't know why.
They don't tell you what they're running it for.
Yeah, and so that's why I really appreciate this, because it's not just a fear of the dentist, it's a fear of doctors in general, like, because you just never know.
Anybody with either a white jacket or a glove that might go somewhere you don't want it to go, right?
Exactly. I greatly appreciate, like, having all the software in here. It's
well, that's neat. That's nice. Let's see.
It takes a lot for me to feel safe. I'm really standoffish.
To feel safe is a lot to me. you've been in here so much, you're almost a part of our family.
I know, I like it here. I mean, even all my fillings and whatnot, they didn't hurt. Like, even the next day, like, I couldn't even notice. I could go to work and I'd be just fine. Like, it's perfect.
You can already tell a big change in your smile already.
I know. I took a picture, sent it to my mom and everything, and she could even notice. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't seen me since, she saw me sooner than I've seen my dad. I saw her in March, the beginning of March. And I haven't seen my dad since Christmas, so I can't wait to see him and give him a big old pretty smile.
Yeah, that is for sure. It's a big change, and I cannot wait until you're all done and you have that bright white smile.
Even with the fillings on the front, just made a big difference.
It's like, a huge difference.
That was always like my biggest thing, was just these two front teeth. Because I mean, that's the first thing people see about you. Mm-hmm. If it's ugly, and it's their impression. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my fault, though.
Yeah. You're way too pretty to have to worry about your smile. You should put your smile on.
I love to be able to smile. I mean, that's all I did.
Yeah, but you seem like that type of person anyways. It'd be hard to hold back.
That's all I did when I got home. I'm like, clear my teeth. I was excited.
Yeah, it's fun.
Things always bug me.
I know. You're doing good, though. They just checked your breathing. I'm going to make sure. You're doing great for being sedated, for dealer.
I'm not really feeling much of it, but I don't feel anything that he's doing, so.
So you're not really, yeah.
I'm not, like, loopy, but I can't, I'm not hurting, so.
That's good.
Either way, I can't complain.
The last time you were here, didn't he give you some more in the middle by the time before?
I think so. It was my first time, but I mean, I'm not all nitroused out like usual, but it's not hurting. So I'm peachy. Usually I fall asleep, but I mean, I still know what's going on. And I like listening to what he's saying. I just like to know what's going on. But it's a good experience. It's so funny because my dentist back in Texas actually dated my mom in college, and he was kind of scared of her because my mom's a really intimidating woman. And so he'd always send me to other doctors, like whenever I had to get teeth pulled or stuff, he'd always send me to them because he didn't want me to hate him. But I mean, he was a good dentist. I think he could have done better in some aspects, but Dr. Kvick was pretty awesome. I'm glad my boyfriend met him on a plane. Yeah, very convenient. Yeah,
and the reason we did your crown first before your root canal is because it's a baked crown that takes a little while to bake, 20 minutes.
It's still pretty cool that it could still be done at the same time instead of having to come back.
When you're doing your root canal, it'll be baking in the oven. Or we're done with the root canal, we'll be ready to put your crown on. So that's kind of cool.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it's no big deal. Most patients, they don't mind waiting. They know that in a half an hour, they're going to have their crown anyway.
Yeah, I can dig it. Whatever works.
Much nicer than having to come back and having a temporary on there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'd have to do it first, but he just told me about all this stuff. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is even cooler.
If we have the time, we'd rather just get it all in one day. It's easier.
Yep. I bet. I remember when I had braces, and I remember when all the orthodontic work and them having to do the molds for my retainers, and oh, that was all just such a pain in the butt.
It is.
But it was interesting, nonetheless. This
we best, do that here, too.
Do y'all do, like...
We do, like, six-month smiles braces. Yeah.
The, like, Invisalign stuff?
He likes to do the six-month smile. I think we can do Invisalign, but...
I had the Invisalign... as a retainer, because it didn't come out until like...
I see what you mean.
Yeah, towards the end.
The different retainers, like they keep fitting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had like the full metal braces and whatnot. And then I had the metal braces on the bottom, or the metal retainer on the bottom. And then I had the Invisalign on the top because my top teeth kept shifting.
Yeah.
And then my bottom tooth, like this one, would always shift back.
The bottom ones, they change back. They do your teeth a little back.
Yeah, mine were perfectly straight, and then this one just straight off for no reason.
Yeah, they do that.
I mean, it doesn't look bad, but it doesn't bother me either. But.
Oh, really? That'd be cool.
Is it cool if I go to the restroom?
Is it cool if you go to the restroom? Sure. Better than going in the chair.
Yeah. I'll think you want me to pee on the chair.
No, we kind of found on that. Here, let me take the gas off temporarily. We'll just hang it there. We'll set your chair up. Wait a minute. And it's right across the hall. And, yeah, okay, take your time. Go slow, because you're still on drugs.
Yeah, I started feeling a little bit more, so I'm like, maybe I should tell him before I start feeling
it. Feeling what a little more? What did she mean by that? Oh, having to go to the bathroom?
Yeah,
okay.
Not your teeth. She doesn't feel
Do you anything. Think I need to give her more sedation? Is that what she meant? Started to feel a little more?
She said that she hasn't felt anything at all.
Okay, she's been comfortable.
She's been comfortable. She said she hasn't felt not one thing.
Okay,
so.
But we have about an hour and a half to
you've
two.
You've given her the same amount that you have given her in
last
the past.
Time. Well, the first visit was a little higher than this. Second visit was this.
It started out lower and then to what you have now.
Right. Not on the first visit. The first visit was a little more than this. I think maybe I'll get one more tablet. Okay. All right. So let's give her a cup of water. We're going to have you take one more pill just to keep you, you know, nicely snookered for the rest of the visit. And we have your tooth. Did you see it? No.
Sweet.
Once we bake it, it'll turn to the right color. Right now it's blue, right? Or purple. Okay, all right. Okay, so we're going to put your chair back. We'll put the gas back on. What we're going to do is we're going to get your crown fitted, or make sure that it fits, check the bite. And then it'll be baking in the oven while we are going ahead with the root canal. Okay. Well, first of all, go ahead and close so I can see what normal looks like. All right, I'm using that as my guide. So open, please. We got the distal. Now go ahead and close. It's hitting. Okay, open, please. We're going to check the flossibility, and then we'll get the bite. I got my finger in there.
Yeah,
that part is good. Close again. Okay, now we're going to have you tap into this blue marking paper. Tap, 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 tap. Bite, bite, bite. All right, so we'll get, and I think I've just renumbed you, so we should be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go. Gonna scoop out the...
Or the remote for...
Sure, go ahead. Oh, the remote for the TV? Here you go. All right, I gotta start cleaning out the decay now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Have years of coffee, tea, or smoke darkened your teeth? Do you remember when your smile was white and bright? Would you like to recapture the days when your smile lit up the room? Call us at 262-9588 and let us help you turn back the clock.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
Your lipstick stains on the front lobe of my left side brains. I knew I wouldn't forget you, and so I went and let you blow my mind.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. If you just joined us, what we're doing today is we are listening to a live root canal done in my office on a girl named Casey. And because root canals kind of carry with them this fear, this fear of horror, I guess, and they're really not like that, I wanted people to know that, and so I thought we would let people listen to a live root canal being done. So here we go. Let's go ahead and listen to the rest of this root canal appointment.
Okay, so we are getting ready to start your root canal. Start by getting rid of all of the decay so that we can see just how... Well, we got to get down to solid tooth, basically. Okay. I think I'll use my round burr for that. It's going to vibrate. Can you adjust the light, please? Thank you. Excuse me. Okay, got to keep going here. Take that away. Bring up into the nerve center. And you didn't notice it. You didn't flinch. You didn't say anything. So I'm assuming you didn't feel it.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Okay. Everything's perfect.
Good. Okay, let's take those files. And I think a triangle would be a good idea, too,
okay.
Please. We'll set that there. Especially for now, we're going to put the mouth prop back in. Do you have it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. And good. These are too long.
Shorter one.
I want to put it inside there, okay. Just making a little more room. Let's rinse that if we could, just to get the crumbs out of the way. Good, 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 good. I can see the canal, but it's at an odd angle right now, so let's put a little curve on the file so I can try to get in it. So I'm now in the mesial buccal canal, and now I have to locate the other two. Palatal canal is usually easy to find because it's usually big. Not yet, in fact. Hold that for a second. It may not be close as I thought. So that's the hello. At least I think. We will find out in just a second. Try this endo explorer. This tooth is interesting because the decay had just gotten to the nerve, meaning it hadn't started to hurt yet, but there was no bleeding inside. It had killed it. It just wasn't abscessed yet, so it's a good thing she came in when she did. See, not a bit of bleeding from inside there. Okay, I can see the lingual. Just a buccal. That looks feels promising. Okay, so now we'll put this in. Here, I'm going to take some Gates glidens. See if Alicia can bring us that crown.
Okay. Alicia. Sierra, would you be able to bring us that chrome?
So what this is doing, Casey, this is opening up the little canals bigger so I can get in there better. Because basically what a root canal is we just have to clean out where the nerve chamber is, where the nerve and blood vessels used to be, and seal them up with a rubbery material that doesn't react with tissue. Triangle. So let's see if we can get, we'll go up the next sizes. She didn't hear you.
I'll try it again.
Okay. Wait for her to answer, I guess.
Alicia, would you be able to bring us that crown, please?
Okay.
She heard me that time.
So again, each crate's gridden is a little bit bigger than the last.
The crown looking for a home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd like to have this lingual canal open up a little bit. There it goes, a little bigger before I go on to the next step. There it is. Okay, so I got those, the number 1 and 2. Now we'll do the 3. And then we'll have to go back and look for the third canal. But usually you can find it after you get the first two. You got something in your mouth? That's your, Oh, you got an itch. Okay. Okay. Take that out. Yeah. That's good. Thank you. Just to... Yeah.
Just kidding.
The three canals located. The third one can't be too far away, and usually, now that I have the two opened up, I can spot the third. There's... Actually, looks like I was going to say, that looks like it.
Yeah.
When I, where's the mouth prep? Do you have it? Oh. Okay. Okay. There we go. Suction, please, while I rinse. Alright. I can see it. Let's see if the number 1 gate's glidden will fit in there. They're relatively close to each other. That's, I think, the issue. But my goal is to be more stubborn and smarter than the tooth that I'm working on, or the teeth that I work on. I got the stubborn part down. I don't know about the smarter part. Let's go with something a little bit smaller than that, and then we'll come back to that one.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to the nickel titanium.
Okay.
Now, of course, this number 1 is pretty long. It might be hard to kind of get in Casey's mouth, but we're going to try. Can we get a little bit more of that? More of the... Basically a chelating agent that lubricates it up in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was good for the museal buckle. Let's add a little more. Looking promising. I'll put a little more. Go to the next size. So each of these nickel titanium, each one's a little bit smaller than the last, and this is what they call crown down, where you work from the crown of the tooth down to the root. Hang on a sec. Okay.
I didn't know that was called that.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do what?
Interesting. Learn something new.
I might use that again, so can you just suction, please? I want to rinse and look. Mm-hmm. Well, good. We have two clear, we have all three canals now, which is wonderful. I mean, I can see them very clearly. It was that the two of them were relatively close, so it's similar. They don't have similar angles, but they're almost at the same spot. And pretty soon we're going to put that open on her so that we can get our working lengths, but may as well do all these first. So now that was the 6, the 5, this is the 4. And I think what maybe people who are listening to this might glean from all of this is root canals aren't scary, they're boring.
Oh.
Right? I mean, you haven't had a whole lot of excitement, have you?
That's a good thing, huh?
Yeah.
I think it just sounds scary. I think people just don't understand it. That's the word.
The whole word?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's because comedians have used it forever, you know?
Maybe that's true. Yeah.
But I mean, everything you're listening to is root canal. Everything that we've been doing for the last 20, 30 minutes is a root canal. We're not done. Making good progress, though. The advantage of these nickel titanium radio instruments is they go around curves without flaring and without breaking. And teeth tend to have a little bit some curves in their root. Okay, I'll give you this one. And now we'll go to the 3 and then the 2. Just a few more of these and then we'll go back to some hand files to, like I said, to verify our length. And see how close we are to being finished. Okay. So, one more. Now once we put the lead apron on you, we're just going to leave it there because we'll have to take a few working length progress x-rays, okay? We're looking at lengths like 23 millimeters or so for a lingual canal. And of course, since we've prepared the tooth for the crown, it may not be quite that long. It's looking like they're all, you know, they kind of converge at the end. They're all going to be about the same length. Okay, go back. Let's have that number 15 file, please.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we'll probably pretty quickly here, we'll have 3 files in there. Or the x-ray. I know there's a big canal there because I've been in it. There it goes. Okay, and that goes in a little further than the other two, which is also pretty normal. Okay, so grab a lead apron. Let's get this set up, ready to take an x-ray. So what we're going to do is we're going to put your bib on the outside of the lead apron. Go ahead and put that. Wow, I think we nailed it. I can see the palatal canal is within a half millimeter. Okay, so we're going to write down these lengths and keep working at these lengths. And then we'll stop later and get another picture. Okay, so the palatal canal is reading just over 19. We'll say 19 and a half. Okay. Is this alcohol here?
Yes.
Okay. The, now I gotta make sure I get the, which one's mesial buccal, which one's distal buccal, but I think it's pretty clear to see the angle, but from the angle. I just went to grab my file, you know, and my cotton pliers got caught on her tongue barbell.
Oh, no.
I'm going, why won't they grasp? Why won't they close? I looked down and I had your barbell. Isn't that funny? And that sound you hear is the filing of the inside of your tooth to make that hollow middle rounder and straighter. Just like that. Now, they haven't brought us our crown, which is fine because we're not done with the root canal yet. But we're almost done. I wonder if it's almost done. Should be.
Would you like me to ask?
I'm assuming they'll bring it. Okay. Then we'll learn if it's not here yet, and yeah, heads will roll, right?
Yeah.
I have two of the yellow. Let's try this one, because it's a little more stiff, and we'll see if we can get this good aperture point in. That's looking promising. Go with one of these mediums. Still has a pointy point on it though, which is good. So let's see, it looks like I've packed, what, three accessory points, three of these extras in there. That one is pretty solid. One more accessory point, and then I think we'll be ready to move on to the next.
Okay.
I'm going to take and heat. Okay, I need my lighter. Yeah, I'm going to take and heat the rubber excess in this one canal, basically sear it off, and then we'll go. So I think basically what we're learning is root canals are actually boring, not uncomfortable, not unpleasant,
no.
You know.
Just a long process.
Yeah, there's just lots of little steps. Okay, bring your suction. Now what we do is we have a hard instrument, and we are going to melt off the end. Okay, let me look. Did you get that?
No, I did not.
Now you did. I think we'll do the palatal next, because honestly, the toughest one to find turned out to be the easiest one once I found it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first canal feels like it's sealed up. Okay, let's go with the lingual canal now. Take this. Do that first. Wipe it in alcohol. Dip it in sealer. And put it in. And I think what we'll do is, I'm not sure yet, but I was going to say maybe use composite for the buildup, but...
Okay.
Let's see. Another one. Okay, that's getting pretty snug, which is good. I think just one last one, and then we'll have that canal done, and then we'll move on to the distal buckle. Okay, almost had it. Okay, what did I do with it? Here we go. You can see those between this one and the other. I think we're good. In business. Just get everything off, get the lead apron off. You'll get it all fixed up? Okay. Okay. Let's take this off. Let's see. Got so many things on you there. You want to grab the lead apron, please? Here, hold your iPhone up. Hold your phone. There you go. She's going to get that. Then I'll raise your chair up. So, let me just put this back here. Like that. Okay. Bite look good or feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everything's cool?
Yeah.
It was all right?
Can't even tell.
Good. Good, good. So no screaming, no yelling. Root canals are okay.
They're okay.
Sounds
just
good.
Long. Yep. Yeah, it's long.
They're more boring than scary, right?
Yeah. I took a nap. I got sick to my stomach like once.
Oh, by the way, I took a nap too.
I know.
Anyway.
I yawned quite a bit during that.
All right, Casey. Well, thank you very much for letting us record that.
No problem. I mean, it didn't hurt, so. I don't know why people freak out. Why I heard such bad things.
So the next time somebody needs a root canal, they shouldn't be afraid, right?
Yeah, I'll be like, it doesn't hurt.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, well, we're going to get your prescriptions, get you all checked out. So hang tight.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. So there you go. There was a root canal, and as you can tell, Casey wasn't even fazed. She actually seemed pretty happy. Coming up on the next half hour, I will be visiting the Denver Zoo.
where we will speak with one of the veterinarians who will be taking care of Bodhi, the 7-year-old Asian elephant that will be leaving the Columbus Zoo and going to live at the Denver Zoo. So stay tuned for the next half hour of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Good morning and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today on Sunny 95. I really appreciate it. I think we're going to have a great show. It's a wonderful November day. And as I said,
welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Today, we are in Denver, Colorado, and I'm at the Denver Zoo. You may know that our African elephant named Bodhi, 7-year-old Bodhi, will be leaving Columbus and going to live at the Denver Zoo before the year's over. And so I thought I'd come out here and talk to one of the staff veterinarians, Dr. Dina Brenner. Dr. Brenner, thank you for talking to me today.
Absolutely, you're welcome. And I did want to let you know, Bodhi's actually an Asian elephant who's going to be coming out here for our new Asian Tropics exhibit.
Oh, neat. And I knew I'd mess that up.
No problem.
As soon as I said that, I thought, I got it wrong. Now, you know what? Tell me about the exhibit. We just walked by it. It's great. What, $50 million?
Yeah, absolutely. We are so excited about this exhibit. So we're scheduled to open in spring of 2012, but the exhibit is going to be fully functional really within the next couple of months, and we're bringing animals in so that they can become acclimated to the exhibit a couple of months before the exhibit is open to the public, which of course is a much better situation for the animals to become comfortable in their new home. So we're going to have Asian elephants there, Malayan tapirs, Indian rhinos, fishing cats, flying foxes, a lot of really exciting animals, all in the Asian tropical theme.
Okay, that sounds neat. Now, we walked by. There's some little openings in the fence, so you can see it being built. And we saw this big wooden bridge. Am I right? The elephants are going to be able to walk over the people? No? No?
Yes, they will. Not directly over. Yeah. What? Not directly over. I'm sorry. They're just going to be able to walk over, and people will be able to watch them pass.
Okay. Okay. That's neat. That's neat. So it's kind of like the aquariums where you kind of go in this glass tube, and it's like you're underwater, but the elephant's over top. Okay. So... Now, when Bodhi gets here, is he going to get a dental exam?
Yeah, absolutely. So it depends on what his comfort level is with the new staff. We'll give him a lot of time to adjust to being here, but we'll absolutely want to get a look at his teeth and make sure that everything looks normal. And do you know that elephants have molar progression?
Yes.
Excellent. So we'll want to check on what the condition is of his molars and also of his tusks.
Right. And I also know that there are four sets, correct? They'll have four sets in their lifetime.
It can be five. Yep, absolutely. 4 to 5.
Okay. And then after that, in the wild at least, they tend to die. And I think there's a feeling, tell me if I'm wrong, that if they had another set, they would just live longer. Would you think that's true?
I think that could be true. And, you know, animals in zoos generally live longer than they do in the wild because we're able to make these adjustments for them and able to care for them in a way that they couldn't care for themselves out in the wild. And so I think one of the major issues is the inability to masticate the food. And so if they shed their teeth and they have no ability to do that, then they wouldn't be able to survive out there. Whereas animals in zoos who may have lost all of their molars or their teeth, we can accommodate their diet to make that easy for them.
Give them oatmeal or something, right?
Or blenderize, yeah. We'll do what we need to for them.
Okay. Well, that's neat. All right. Now, which of the animals here at the Denver Zoo actually receive dental care? Because I'm pretty sure you don't work on the reptiles, but which animals do?
Really, I mean, really all the animals receive dental care, and some reptiles do have teeth. So lizards would be some of those that could have dental issues, that we may have dental problems. We may actually have to deal we actually have had some cases where we've had to address dental issues in reptiles, but birds don't have teeth, turtles don't have teeth, fish don't have teeth, but all of our mammals, really, we do a lot of preventative medicine here. So just like, you know, you would go for a checkup with your doctor, we see the animals before they're sick, and that's a really good plan for us, because especially our wild animals who are in a zoo setting, they mask signs of disease. And so it's always better for us to look at them when they're healthy and to catch subclinical issues. So any animal that we have under anesthesia that we're doing an exam on, we always do a dental exam.
Neat. And you also clean their teeth while they're under?
Absolutely, we do. And we have a consulting dentist who comes in.
Great.
For a complicated procedure. So if we're doing endodontic repairs or we're doing complicated extractions, we have a consulting dentist who's actually a human-trained dentist who's been consulting at the zoo for, I think at least 20 years, Dr. Pete Emily. He's very talented. He's helped us with a lot of repairs, especially in non-human primates and our great apes, whose dentition is really similar to humans.
Right. No, that's pretty neat. Now, is there one species that requires more dental care than the rest?
I would say in our zoo setting, the non-human primates and the carnivores. So our felids, our canids, our bears, those animals, and our great apes and our other non-human primates are probably the animals that we see the most for dental issues, and probably our canids the most out of all of those.
Now, I'm picturing, you said preventive dental care. Do you have like a big toothbrush about the size of a of a street broom?
Well, I think it's funny because we actually... one thing that we're really proud of here at Denver Zoo is how advanced we are with training and enrichment. And so while I said we look at all of the animals when they're under anesthesia for their exams, we see a lot of our animals when they're not under anesthesia. And a lot of our animals are trained to actually open their mouths for us to look in their mouths.
Really? You get the animal to open their mouth?
Absolutely. So it's there's a command that the keepers, you can't see me because it's radio with me opening.
She's taking her finger and her first finger and thumb and going from like touching together to opening.
Exactly. Okay. And so that's a command that a lot of the animals know, especially our non-human primates and some of our larger carnivores, to open their mouth. And that is such a great tool for us to be able to actually look inside of the mouth without having to anesthetize the animal to get a better look at what could be going on in there.
Right, right. Now, I think I interrupted myself. There's no one animal that you would say requires dental care more than the rest? I think you said there were a few different species.
Yeah, there's a few major groups. We don't have... you know, one particular species that I would say is much higher risk, although we do see in our African wild dogs, which we have a group here, we do see a fair amount of dental disease, and that's actually something that's seen in the wild as well. These animals live a lot longer in zoos than they do in the wild, and probably the biggest issue we see with them is dental.
And it's periodontal disease, right?
It is, yeah. It's periodontal disease requiring extractions. We see sort of typical tooth root abscess swellings above the jawline, underneath the eye, sort of adjacent to the bridge of the nose. And we also do see that in our hoof stock as well. So in some of our exotic ungulates, our African hoofed mammals, we'll see evidence of tooth root abscesses, which often don't require veterinary intervention. So very, very different than in our carnivores and our primates, which usually do.
Okay. Now, how does a handler know when the animal they're working with has a toothache?
Such a good question. So they may see a facial swelling, but probably the most likely thing that they should expect to see would be a decrease in appetite. Difficulty prehending food, dropping food, salivating, kind of what you would expect for, I was going to say a person, but that may not be true, maybe a domestic animal. So difficulty eating, decreased appetite, facial swellings would be the most common things that we would expect to see.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, what kind of treatments have the animals required? You mentioned a root canal. I assume you do extractions, mm-hmm. and then treatment of gum disease. So are there any stories that you can give me about some of the different you know, situations you've been involved in?
Sure. Well, we actually recently had an issue with a kangaroo. So we actually see periodontal disease and called lumpy jaw in kangaroos, which is a deep infection at the tooth root and in the mandible or the maxilla.
Would that equate to like a fistula?
It can become a fistula. It can we know that these animals are particularly prone to these issues, and we know sort of how to prevent it. But when it does happen, we have to move on it and act on it very quickly. So that often requires a dental extraction, flushing of the pocket, continued antibiotic care, and then follow-up.
Okay. And because it can be life-threatening, right?
It can. And just like really with any animal, although the dental anatomy is a little bit is variable across our species, it can progress, and there are such important structures of the head that communicate with the oral cavity. So we can have, if we're not careful, we could have extension into the sinuses or into a deep bone infection. So absolutely, we take these very seriously, and we act accordingly.
Well, that sounds really cool. You know what? I have so many more questions, and it looks like it's going to be time to go to a commercial break. Can you hang with us a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Dr. Dina Brenner.
Brenner.
Right. Got that wrong again. Anyway, Dr. Dina Brenner here at the Denver Zoo. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su sesión favorita, Sunday 95.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Do you wear complete or partial dentures? Are you tired of having to take your teeth out at night? Or how about having to take them out at the doctor's office or in the hospital? Pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Heck, they've already taken away your clothes and then they take away your teeth too. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to having teeth that don't come out of your mouth? Well, you can. Here at Dr. Kvitko Metnis & Associates, we can place implants and cement fixed bridges on top to give you a smile that never comes out. You'll never look or feel toothless again. Think what that can do for your self-esteem. And you'll never have to worry about a metal clasp showing or your dentures falling out with a big sneeze. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
I'm gonna love you with my hands tied. Show me your teeth.
Just tell me when.
Show me your teeth.
Open your mouth, boy.
Show me your teeth.
Show me what you got.
Show me your teeth.
Got no salvation.
All right, welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I am at the Denver Zoo, and I'm with Dr. Dina Brenner, and she's nice enough to take some time out of her day to speak with me today. And before the break, we were talking about how handlers would know the animal even has a toothache. And then we started talking about which animals maybe need dental care the most. And so that made me think that I want to find out a little bit more about the care. So how do you take a dental x-ray on a large animal such as a tiger or a polar bear or even an elephant? How do you do that?
That's a great question. So for animals that we have under anesthesia, it's quite easy. So we have a digital radiography system here, which is really increases our quality of care, as you can imagine.
Right, we have that at the office. So once you take the image, you can alter it, you can manipulate it, and see things you wouldn't have seen.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You can alter the image, and you get the image instantly, which is what's so crucial for us, especially when we have animals under anesthesia, or animals very patiently holding a position for us to take an x-ray as well. So we take multiple views, as you know. It's always important. Different lesions can hide, so you can't trust a single view. So oblique views, lateral views, AP, you know, everything that we need to figure out what's actually going on with the tooth.
Yeah, the neat thing is the patient's not asking you if it's covered by insurance, right?
That is correct. Yep, no deductibles here.
Yeah, okay, so do you always bring the animal then to an infirmary-type setting, or do you take the x-ray equipment to them?
It's variable, so it really depends on the size of the animal. So our hospital can accommodate the vast majority of animals in our zoological collection, but there are certain animals that we cannot physically in our space accommodate. So if we had a tooth issue with a rhino, with an elephant, with a giraffe, those would be animals where we have to bring everything to them. So if you were here, you would see in our treatment room that everything is on wheels. Everything is portable. We have vehicles for bringing things to the animals if we can't bring the animals to us, to our hospital up here.
Okay, and then that's pretty... Now, a large animal, would you have to use a tranquilizer dart first, and then the anesthesiologist would take over from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so sometimes. It depends on the animal. And like I was telling you before the break, a lot of our animals are actually pretty advanced with training here, training and enrichment. And so we have a lot of animals who are trained actually for hand injection. So we can actually give them a shot.
Really? Do they just roll up their sleeve?
Yeah, they do. They do not get a lollipop afterwards. but they do... sometimes participate in that, which is always better, decreases the stress for the animal, increases the sort of the smooth induction of anesthesia. So even some of our larger animals are compliant for taking a hand injection. So if they're not, though, then sometimes we have to deliver those drugs by dart or through other means. So, yep, and then actually as a zoo veterinarian, we do a lot of our own anesthesia here. It's something that is really important part of our field. So we are the doctors, we're the anesthesiologists, we're the surgeons, but we do call in specialists depending on what the needs are.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how do you know if an animal is allergic to a particular drug until you've tried it, right?
Yeah, sometimes we don't know if it's a drug that we know is likely to cause allergic reactions in other species. We may give them something like diphenhydramine before giving the medication to decrease.
Which is known as Benadryl.
Known as Benadryl, thank you. I couldn't remember the...
just for my listeners who probably have never heard of diphenhydramine.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, to decrease the chance of an allergic reaction. And we also... even if we haven't used it in a particular species, a drug in a particular species before, there's a lot known about the animals that we work with. And so we constantly consult with colleagues in other zoos.
Okay. Now, once an animal has a procedure like an extraction or a root canal, and they wake up, how do you deliver the pain medicine to them? Is it mixed with their food, their water? Are they not given any pain medicine? And what about antibiotics while we're at it?
Yeah. Pain medications are very important, as are antibiotics oftentimes after a dental procedure. And so the generally we would mix this in the animal's food. And so that's a constant challenge for us, is getting a medication that is not distasteful to an animal. And we have tricks of the trade. And depending on what the animal's food item is, it may be easier to hide it or to mix it.
You have to be smarter than the average bear.
We do. Very good. Absolutely. So we do a lot of compounding of different medications to get them flavored or to get them into a smallest concentration as possible to be able to give the meds to the animals.
Is it just like a regular house pet like I would have, where you'll find the pill where they've managed to get all the food and the pill is still in the bowl?
Hopefully not. Usually for medications like this, we either give just the medicated food item until they eat that, and then they get the rest of their diet, or they're carefully watched. So.
Okay. Now, do you also use local anesthetics? So let's say you're doing a root canal. Mm-hmm. Under general, you don't really need local, but I know in my setting, we use it because of the vasoconstriction properties, decreases bleeding. Yep. Do you do that in animals too?
We do, and there, you know, there's a variety of different types of nerve blocks that we can do in local anesthetics. And so this is certainly a field that's developing in zoological medicine, even knowing where the landmarks are to give certain types of nerve blocks and do different types of local anesthetics is something that we're continuing to learn. But depending on the extent of the procedure, absolutely, we would consider that.
How do you know if they're numb? Because they're sedated. Yeah. So, I mean, a patient can tell me, I still feel my lip, but the animal can't. Yeah. How would you find that out?
We'd probably find that out later if we had a droopy lip or a droopy tongue, which is something that we can see. But it is something that we have to be mindful of, and we have to be conservative with the dose so that the animal doesn't get frightened by that feeling or not recognize a tongue or a lip as its own.
Okay, yeah, and bite it, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, now, I've heard that if a male lion or tiger breaks or loses their upper canine, the fang, that they have trouble mating with females because they can't dominate them. Is that true, or is that just something that I heard when I was half awake?
Oh, I think nature finds a way. I think the answer is it's always hard to say, never say never, right?
Okay, so have you ever done a crown, put a crown on a fang for one of the tigers or lions?
We haven't here, but we have done crowns in non-human primates as well. We haven't had a need. We haven't had a fractured canine that we couldn't do an endodontic repair on.
Okay. Now, getting a crown on a tooth that large, because we're talking about a tooth that's the size of your hand, who casts that? Do you have to go to a jeweler?
It's a great question. I think probably what we'd be talking about would be like a tusk in an animal. In an elephant would require very careful molding and casting. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're constantly having to repurpose items for our own needs here because we don't have tiger-sized crowns made or elephant-sized crowns made. We have to make them ourselves.
Wow. Okay. Because, I mean, I've made crowns, and it's the lost wax process, and you need a big mold for a big tooth, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And a big spin caster to spin the gold in, the oven, all that stuff. Okay. Now, how many dental appointments or procedures would you say are done here at the Denver Zoo in a year, just on average?
Oh, wow. A lot. I mean, really, we have over 3,500 animals here at the Denver Zoo.
Does that count the kids running around too, or is that just?
It doesn't, but it should. So that's a great question. I mean, we see hundreds of animals per year, and all of those animals who have teeth would have teeth evaluated. So we do a lot of dental procedures here at the zoo.
What do you think the dental bill would be if you had to try to calculate one? I know it would be just a guess, but I mean, how do you put a price on a crown on an elephant, right? But no, I mean, if you do hundreds of visits, anybody ever, even the accountants, they haven't tried to figure this out?
No, I don't think so. It's all part of our operating budget for the year.
Okay. Well, that's neat. So now, real quick, because we don't have a lot of time, and I do appreciate you staying with me here. How did you get into zoological veterinary medicine?
It's something I've had an interest in for a long time, and so I pursued experiences in veterinary school, and I went on for a considerable amount of additional training after veterinary school to be able to care for these animals because they are very wide and vast in their differences in anatomy and physiology. So there's a lot to know, but it's a fascinating field.
I bet. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. You probably have to go extract a tooth and deliver a baby and all that stuff, right?
I might.
Maybe
you never
take
know.
Out a spleen or something.
It was great to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Dentally speaking, it is his talk show, Dr. Kavitko. Let's go!
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Hi. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko show to reach your customers by becoming a sponsor? Learn how by calling 262-9588. That's 262-9588.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. So today we were interviewing Dr. Dina Brenner from the Denver Zoo, and I thought it was a pretty interesting interview. I also would like to remind folks that you can access podcasts of this show and other shows by going to dentallyspeaking.com, iTunes, or sunny95.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Kavitko. All right, now, like I said, I thought it was an interesting interview. It was a lot of fun. At least I had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it. There were some things that Dr. Brenner mentioned, some words that I thought at the time that maybe I should do my best to explain. Let me just go over some of them. She mentioned some words like felids and canids. Well, the felids would be the feline family, like the cats, you know, the tigers and the lions and cheetahs. Canids would be the wolf family, or the, you know, the dog, kind of like the dog species, if you will. And she mentioned ungulates. Ungulates are hoofed mammals. That would be like zebras and giraffes and maybe wild boars, things like that. Of course, carnivores, I think we all know what that is. It's a meat-eating mammal. And of course, that would include lions and tigers. And something else that she mentioned, she called it lumpy jaw when she was referring to, I believe it was a kangaroo. And we talked about a fistula. And a fistula is something that I see in patients' mouths, and most dentists, most physicians have seen. Let me explain a little bit of what a fistula is. If you have an infection, say, down in the bone, and it builds up pressure, it looks for a pressure release. It looks for a way to get out. So if you haven't dealt with the issue, and let's just use it the example of a tooth abscess. So let's say you have pus forming at the base of your tooth root because your nerve has died. Well, as this forms, it builds pressure. And the body says, well, let me see if I can get out of here. And it starts to burrow a hole through the bone, and it works its way to the eventually to the underside of the gum tissue. And then it burrows a hole through the gum tissue. And once it does, you get this little blister. It looks like a pus-filled or a whitish blister. And when that pops, that is a draining abscess. Now, when you have a draining abscess, you essentially have pus, little bits of pus coming into your mouth. You are actually swallowing little bits of pus. And it's kind of gross, but it's true. And so, honestly, what you want to do is you want to avoid letting yourself get to that point. Now, ironically, I had a woman come in with a draining abscess with a fistula, and it wasn't hurting her. Remember I said once the pressure is released, there's no pain. That doesn't mean you're healthy. It just means there's no pain. And it's, as you know, it's November, and insurance is going to start over in January, dental insurance. And she asked if she could wait. till January. And I said, well, I wouldn't if I were you, but you can, I guess. It's not hurting. It is pus. It is going through your bloodstream. Not the healthiest thing to leave there. But anyway, she decided to just leave it, and hopefully she'll be fine in January. And a couple other phrases or words that were mentioned that I wanted to clarify, and that is when she was talking about x-rays, she talked about an oblique view, a lateral view, and an AP view. An oblique is kind of an off angle, kind of from the corner. A lateral is from the side, and an AP stands for anterior posterior, and that would be an x-ray view from the front to back or back to front. All right, so hey, I want to thank you for joining me. Be sure to tune in next week, and we'll have another great show. You know what? Thanksgiving is getting even closer. So everybody go out and have a great day, and let's meet back here next Sunday morning, 8:30, Sunny 95. Goodbye.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.